welcome to another episode of Cursed Checkpoint, the topical podcast for HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Brandon Coppernall, and we are talking about Borderlands 2. This is your podcast about 87 bazillion guns and three guys who used about 2% of them. With me tonight, I have Mordecai's body double and writer for Horrible Night, Aaron McNeil. Aaron, how's it going?
It's going great. I don't have a bird like Mordecai, though.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get one for you.
I have no action skill. I'm useless.
No action skill. He's less than level 5, folks. I also have our brick stunt double and HorribleNight.com writer, Justin Gifford. How are you doing tonight, Justin?
I'm doing great, Brandon. Let's punch something.
All right.
That's the best I got for brick.
So, sounds just like him.
Let's talk about why we're here. Borderlands 2. What do you think? You like that idea? Let's talk about it.
I'm down.
Yes. Borderlands.
Right. So, you know what? This game made a big splash in the last month or so. You know, thinking back to your experiences in the first Borderlands and fast forwarding to the marketing hype prior to launch, does Borderlands 2 take the series further and has it delivered on its promise? Justin, go.
I don't know that it takes it much farther, mainly because the first game was awesome and it was a degree of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I'm sure I'd put it in the same category as the Batman Arkham Asylum, Arkham City games. That said, I think they followed a very similar formula. Hey, you like what we gave you in the first game? Here's more. In terms of the marketing hype, despite having seen plenty of videos over it and being very excited about it and even enjoying the fact that they used the Heavy as the title screen music, I don't know if it was a game that deserved as much hype as it got. It probably isn't proper because I love the hell out of the game so far, but I don't know that it needed to be hyped in quite the way that it was. For the sole fact that it isn't a whole lot different than Borderlands 1. I loved Borderlands 1. They took enough time between 1 and 2 that I was ready for more. But they didn't change a whole lot, which is fine. Borderlands 1 was awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, and we're in the times of annual releases, and Borderlands 2, you know, took a couple of years to come out. And you're right, not a whole lot of the formula has changed. And I think in another podcast, you guys mentioned it's not Borderlands 2, it's Borderlands More. And how do we feel about that? That it, you know, it's kind of like the first game. It didn't come out in a year. It took a couple of years, but everybody seems okay with it. But other games that get annual releases, they don't give us, it seems like, such a long, you know, long rope to be a little different or be much of the same. I mean, why do you think about that?
You know, I'll admit I have not played the annual releases of Call of Duty. I prefer a little bit more fantasy in my shooting games. Mm-hmm. But that said, you know, I appreciate they didn't try and do an annual release. They did some serious polish on between the two. And I guess what it comes down to for me is they made it's still a new game. It's not just DLC. They smoothed some things out. They got rid of some UI issues. Your inventory management's better. It's even funnier than the first one, I think.
I think they did
a lot. It is a sequel. It is Borderlands More, but it is an honest sequel in the fact they're not rehashing a whole lot. They're giving you a new experience. So I'm not going to stick them in the sort of, I would even go as far as say the Madden rehash or annual release, because I think that's probably unfair. Brandon, you're better experienced this than I am, but I think it's probably even unfair to lay the Call of Duty and the Madden annual releases in quite the same territory. I don't know if they use a new engine or not. I mean, with Unreal 4 is not really ready for these consoles. So, I don't know. I'm happy with what they turned out, is kind of where I'm going.
What about you, Aaron?
I feel pretty much the same way. My experience with Borderlands was maybe a little more disjointed than everyone else's. I bought the game late. Everyone was much higher level. I kind of jumped in. They're like, hey, come into my game. We'll beat it. We'll get you a lot of good guns. We'll level you up. Let's do this. And so it's kind of good that that one didn't have much of a story, since I don't have any idea other than let's go to this vault and there's a thing. But I never actually played through the entire game with any given character of the original four Vault Hunters. And so jumping into two, it kind of felt like a fresh experience, a more refined. They cleaned it up, definitely more polished. I liked how, you know, the shift, that the compass is no longer this kind of radial thing at the bottom, and now it's like a mini map. You know, I just preferred that kind of thing. And I had a lot of fun with Borderlands 2, but that, I guess that tiptoe through Borderlands kind of gave me a taste of it. Then the time developing Borderlands 2 gave it, you know, that extra bit of marination that by the time 2 was out, I was ready for it. I'm like, I'm going to do this right.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I bought Borderlands when it came out, got through most of the game, and then a lot of my friends had moved on, and I didn't want to play it by myself. And then right about the time that they started hyping the game, Borderlands 2, I was like, you know what, I never finished Borderlands, and I am embarrassed to say this. And so I went out and I bought the Game of the Year edition, so I got all the DLC and started playing through it again. And luckily we got a couple of friends jump right back on and say, hey, we'll start from the beginning with you. And we ended up getting through the whole thing. So I did finish first Borderlands before Borderlands 2 came out, but it was a very, very disjointed experience, because I was probably about three-fourths of the way through before I kind of stopped and then started again. And I went through the whole thing. And you're right, the story is very light in the first one. It's mostly just about looting and shooting. So, or maybe it's shooting and looting. I guess you don't take stuff before you shoot them, but
it's shooting with semantic. Intermittent looting.
With intermittent looting. So, you know, Borderlands 2 is geared toward cooperative play. I've only played this one in co-op. You guys have played kind of both. So which one have you played more, and which do you prefer, and, you know, what do you think, Aaron?
I didn't think I would do this, but knowing myself, I probably should have guessed better. I played through most of Borderlands 2 solo. Now, you and I did play some together, but I also have the game on PC, and when the Necromancer released, I played through the entire game using that character. And just to, you know, when you play with other people, I guess you miss out on some of the witty banter that the game's throwing your way, because everyone's talking, you're making your own jokes, having your own fun. So I was able to go back and just listen to some of the story bits, and I kind of just got caught up in it, kept going, and next thing I know, hey, the credits are going, and I just beat the game by myself.
So which one did you prefer? I mean, did you prefer solo, or did you prefer co-op? I mean, were the experiences that markedly different for you?
I feel like maybe for me personally, it's like an apples to oranges kind of thing. I like to play games by myself sometimes, just with the nature of when I feel like doing something, don't want to gather all the guys together, let's do this. But I had fun playing the game by myself. I'm sure it's maybe more fun when you have someone else to share the experience with you, but it didn't feel any worse for wear for me just to go, you know, maybe level 1 to 30, whatever I am now, by myself.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. There are games out there where they definitely want you to play co-op, and they make it almost terrible to play single player. So it's good that the game can hold itself when you are running single player. What about you, Justin?
You know, I've played this almost exclusively single player. I don't know how in the heck you guys can be through it already, because I've been, or, well, I guess just Aaron is, but I've been playing pretty heavily, and I have not gotten through it. That said, I'm aware of the fact that I've been doing every single side mission. You know, I think part of the reason I haven't played more co-op is not because I don't have friends online that I know I could just hop in their game. I don't really know what the etiquette is on that. Like, should you only jump into their game if you're the same level or within a couple levels of each other? Would it help somebody out as like a level 10 if I jump in with my level 32? That's been the obstacle for me not playing more multiplayer. Especially having started this discussion with Lacey early on, like, oh, we should play through together from the beginning. And we haven't, because we've been busy. So that said, you know, for the most part, I haven't really noticed an obnoxious bias towards co-op. On the other hand, I just beat a mission involving a gigantic mutated skag. And by gigantic, I mean, like, you know, the size of a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stupidly hard single player, even though I was, like, a level or two above the skag. That was one of the two or three missions, and there's a couple levels where it's clearly designed for multiplayer. It's just like you literally have to kill like an entire town of people. You have to kill like 100 bandits. And that, you know, that's difficult.
I know, like, when you pause the game or whatever, you can see, like, the network options, and it'll tell you, oh, this, you know, this person is this level, here, they're an optimal match, you're about the same thing, but the game does kind of seem to kind of put a warning light on, whoa, you're either too high above this person or you're too low above this person to jump into their game, but does not stop you from doing it. So I could see the problem with there being, you know, like, an etiquette, like, how would this person be mad? Should I take the time to contact them first and say, hey, do you mind if I come in? I'm over-leveled for what you're doing. This might get a little too easy, or I'm not going to contribute much. You're going to carry me through it. And I guess that really comes down to who that person is and how well you know them. And because I know my close friend, he jumped in and he was higher level, and I didn't mind that he did it because we hadn't talked in a while, but, you know, just a random Xbox Live person or even a Steam person, if they just jumped right in and was like, hey, let's play together, I'd be like, hey, guy, I was playing by myself. Why are you here now?
I guess I come from a different background where I have played it exclusively co-op, and the group that we've been playing with, it's almost like we just assume that's what we're going to do. And, I mean, Aaron, you kind of got a taste of it. I just invited you, and it wasn't even an invite. It was more of, you're going to come play with us, and that's life. you don't get really much of a choice because that's how I roll. And so, yeah, I guess I never really thought about etiquette. And honestly, when it comes to etiquette, I'm probably pretty poor because I'm like, no, you're going to play. I don't care. You're probably doing something epic on your own. You're going to play with me. So,
we do epic things.
I have noticed, though, like, there really isn't a level discrepancy issue other than if you're a high level coming into a lower level, it's incredibly easy. They don't really, you know, gauge the enemies towards you. It's more toward the host. And when you come in on a low level to someone's high level game, you're pretty much expected to die every 5 seconds, you know, with every gunshot you're probably dropping. So, you kind of have to kind of gauge, do I want to play this game? We had JP join us, and he was about 8 levels behind us, and he said it many times. We spent most of the game picking him up until his level caught up to the actual game. But you level up fast, so I guess there's some benefit to that. So, DLC for Borderlands was awesome, and a lot of people said that's the way you need to do DLC, and, you know, DLC is a hot button item, and we'll save that for another day. And it's a little early now, but we've already had one DLC release, and two if you include the Necromancer class. We've also been given an option this year for a season pass, which wasn't around in Borderlands. with how Borderlands had their DLC perform, what are your expectations for 2? Do you think they'll be able to deliver? And in the case of, you know, myself, I bought the Game of the Year edition, which had all the DLC long after the game was released, which was probably kind of a cheaper alternative if I had not already bought and sold the game previously. So is it worth getting the season pass right now, or do you think Game of the Year down the road is the path you might go? What do you think, Justin?
Well, you know, the thing is, I did not play any co-op in Borderlands 1. And while I think their DLC in the first one was very good, I believe it was the Secret Armory of General Knox, involved a whole lot of driving, and that just... I think that was probably the weakest of the DLC. That said, you know, I went ahead and bought the season pass. I already bought the game. I think I got it the day it came out or shortly thereafter. So at that point, you know, you're already in for it. You might as well pay for 3 instead of 4 of the DLC. You're probably going to buy them. And now that I know how well that they handle the multiplayer content, I figure it's going to get some more longevity. I'm going to pay for it. That said, you know, it sort of bums me out because it's like, man, if this had the multiplayer longevity of like Halo Reach or even Halo 3, I could wait till it's been out for a year, buy the Game of the Year edition or whatever the heck they want to call it if they don't win Game of the Year, and then go ahead and continue playing with all these people who have still been playing. Maybe they're on their second or third character, and I got it for $40 less when you add in the cost of all the DLC. Also, I think the DLC is going to have to – I remember this about the first one. By the time I got through all the DLC – I was done. You know, the extension of time was that it stretched out. That was a good thing. So I'm hoping that their DLC, I don't want to say higher quality because it wasn't like it was low quality in the first one by any means, but I hope that what they end up doing is maybe throw in a wrinkle or two, a good wrinkle, to shift things up just a little bit.
Because you're looking for DLC that will basically give you more reason to keep playing.
Yes.
What about you, Aaron?
Yeah. I went ahead and got the season pass to PC side. I mean, I find all these PC deals, and it's just kind of crazy in comparison to console stuff now that, you know, I could put in promo codes and get stuff for cheaper. But back to the DLC, I feel like I need to get the DLC now just because I've got so many games that I need to finish, and then I continue to buy new games. And with the nature of how I play, I need to play things while they're fresh and in the moment of, hey, I want to play Borderlands 2 now. I do have the DLC for the first game and haven't touched a single bit of it, so I have no idea other than that Mad Moxie has, you know, Horde mode essentially and a bank added to the game, but I need to actually go through it while still fresh in my mind. I know how I'm planning out my character. I haven't hit 50 yet. If I put this aside and thought, oh, I'll wait for a better deal, I'll get the season pass, you know, once they're all out and reviews are out, word of mouth, everyone's like, oh, it's still pretty good, or hey, it's more of the same. I feel like if I wait till that point, I won't care anymore. I'll have already moved on. Borderlands 2 will be a blip in my Steam library, and it'll just, I'll never go back to it. Or I might buy it for $5 on some winter sale and still not play. So I'm kind of glad I bought it now, since I've already played through the Captain Scarlet's booty, pirate booty. Yeah, I played through all that.
I mean, what was the quality of that DLC? Because it came out only a month after the game released.
The quality of it was, to be honest, it was okay. There were funny moments. I mean, it's very pirate themed. You kind of go to a desert area, but immediately after finishing the story, it's not as good as the story was for me. I really like Handsome Jack as a character, but you don't have him there anymore. And so everyone's, you know, kind of, you know, dehydrated or dead from dehydration, and you got a pirate talking to you, and it's just kind of, it's a lot more lax than the story, I guess. If you care enough about Borderlands 2 story, it's a lot more lax, laid back. Hey, let's go search for treasure, yahar, and no parrots. Surprisingly, no parrots. But,
really?
Sorry, no parrots?
No parrots.
I'm disappointed.
Get your refunds.
I might get a refund now. I was really hoping for a parrot.
But no, it's still more of the same. I mean, go here, kill this, go here, find that, get some treasure, kill a boss, guns go flying everywhere. I was still in the mood for that. I do hope that one or two of the next DLCs that come out aren't like that, that they offer something a little different, but within the realms of what Borderlands is.
Yeah, definitely.
And did I hear, having played through it, I heard that it's pretty apparent that some of that is sort of badly slanted towards multiplayer in terms of, like, the bosses, that trying to fight them single player is extraordinarily difficult.
And I don't know if this is just a byproduct of me switching over to Mechromancer, since the Mechromancer, kind of like, it's like the Commando, deploys a unit or a robot that will get the attention of the enemies, and that kept me alive a lot. So I'm playing solo, but it's almost like for moments at a time, I'm playing two-player. And so I was able to get through a lot of boss fights simply because my robot would take damage for me, drive some enemies away, kind of keep their backs to me, and I'm just murdering them while they're not paying attention. And even will get me out of the fight for your life. I can get my second wind if the robot kills something. And then every now and then I would think, if I was still playing maybe a Siren or a Gunzerker, would I be having a lot more trouble and frustration here? And that's probably the case, but I was able to get through a lot of stuff without much cursing, but there was some frustration in terms of enemies were just kind of mowing me down, and if I had another person, they'd pick me up. My robot won't do that, but I'm trying.
I won't pick you up, though.
No, you never do.
That's right. So, what are you guys looking forward to or looking for in the Borderlands franchise in the future?
Part of me almost hopes they don't do another one. I mean, or if they do, they wait a couple of years. I mean, it's fun. I really enjoy playing it. It is not something I'm going to come back to. Like, I'm not going to take my Xbox 360 out of the closet or wherever the hell I end up storing it when the new one comes out just to play some Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with Borderlands or Borderlands 2 as they are now. But aside from the amusing story, and it's amusing, but it doesn't, you know, grab your attention. You're not, even though, yeah, like, Halo's a shooting game, but I like the storyline. It's a solid sci-fi storyline. I from time to time, I toy with the idea of just going ahead and playing through all five of them once Halo 4 comes out, or six, once Halo 4 comes out in chronological order, so I can see the whole storyline. That's not going to happen with Borderlands 2. It's a lot of fun. I like all the guns. I just got one that is like a Jewish mother sniper rifle.
Yes.
Which is a little disturbing. I'm glad I got a new sniper rifle. I don't know that I'm waiting for a whole lot new in the franchise. I think Gearbox is a great developer,
See, you're struggling. You're on the fence.
I'm struggling from the extent that I don't know how much more Borderlands I want. Like, I'm not sure I want them to really expand where they are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. What about you, Aaron?
Borderlands is it's a franchise I enjoy, but yeah, Justin does bring up a great point of, you know, I'm not going to go back down the line and be like, you know what, I really miss doing Borderlands, but the experience that Borderlands provides is fun and it's amusing and it's something I enjoy. I don't want it to die, but I don't know what I would want from a Borderlands 3 that Borderlands 2 doesn't already provide. And I definitely don't want them to, you know, railroad this all the way into the future of, you know, Borderlands 10 or Borderlands X, they'd have to call it, you know. And where it just never ends. The story's not enough that I'm going to want to keep doing this again and again. But if Gearbox can, you know, kind of just twist this into something greater, where Borderlands kind of is a stepping stone for maybe a new IP where you do something similar, but there's new elements to it and they can kind of evolve it, then I would appreciate that from Borderlands. But I can maybe take one more Borderlands and then I have to question, is this something I want to do until I stop playing games forever, which is when I'm dead.
I would totally vote for the Borderlands team over at Gearbox develop Star Wars Battlefront 3. Like, that's go. What I would like next from the Borderlands team is Battlefront 3. Like, I just think that would translate over well. And but yeah, I'm with Aaron. One more Borderlands, and then I'm kind of like, okay, it's fun. I like dungeon looting with lots of guns. And
do you think, you know, do you think that another Borderlands or a future Borderlands could fall into the trap of maybe Diablo 3?
I got nothing for you on that.
Well, the story around it is, I mean, people were so excited for it. They've been waiting for it for so long, and then it comes out, and it was put on such a pedestal that it could never live to the expectations that people had set for it, and that it just kind of fell flat, even though the numbers suggest otherwise. Just reaction around the internet is, oh, it's not much more than Diablo 2. It's just now.
Well, yeah, I think people are.
Do you think that just
really jaded now?
Do you think that a Borderlands 3 or, if it got beyond that Borderlands 4, it would just make people jaded? They're like, oh gosh, it's another Borderlands.
You know, that was the example I had rolling around in my head, but I kept my mouth shut because I haven't played Diablo 3. I played a whole lot of Diablo 2, like in two different incarnations. I played it once, like the first time and a half through, and then my brother showed me how awesome the sorceress with the ice magic was. And the game becomes totally different when you play it with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in, I don't know, 100, 150 hours into Diablo 2. But I was done with it. Like, it's not a deep story. It's a better story than Borderlands. But it's not a deep story. But, hey, the action's fun. There's lots of loot. You know, rockin' Ishu, I still hear that voice in my head every once in a while. Like, I hear a sound effect, and I'm here, rockin' Ishu! But I think you're absolutely correct that Borderlands has a lot in common with Diablo 2, aside from just the looting. Like, it's a whole lot of killing, it's got kind of a story, and it's got some redeeming qualities story-wise, but it's not a deep game. You don't want to reread this book.
Yeah, it's numbers and items, and that obsession to have better numbers and items. So 3 would be more of that, just like Diablo 3 was more of Diablo 2.
Right. So, Aaron.
I was going to say, it's just maybe not as well received. It's kind of like bringing back your favorite Saturday morning cartoon in the new age, and you're like, this isn't as good, and then you spit on the floor and put a curse on your TV.
Or hanging out with that guy from high school you used to think was hilarious, and then you realize he's kind of a chode.
Exactly. Ain't that right, Bloodwing?
Oh, I've been waiting for that reference.
I knew you were wanting it.
So, you know, we're running out of time here, so I'm going to give you a lightning round, guys. So, name your favorite moment, character, or just a standout memory of Borderlands 2.
I know what you're going to say, so I should steal it from you. The first time we met Tiny Tina was just kind of pure liquid magic in the way we all reacted to what was happening.
Oh, yeah. The Tiny Tina moment was just fantastic. And the way that she talks and the mannerisms the animated character had with it, it just... I don't think we were ready for that.
We were not ready for what
happened. And when it happened, what was great was we were all running around, and she says, nap time, in the middle of like a sentence or a thought, and her character jumps on a bed face first. And we were all in different areas, and then you can see, and we streamed it. You can see in the stream, we all converge on the bed laughing. Like, what just happened?
It was amazing.
That Tiny Tina moment, yeah, was one of my absolute favorites so far. But I have to say, Handsome Jack is a fun villain to face. The way he antagonizes you the entire game is just, it's a lot of...
Yeah, not a lot of villains engage you just consistently and with the caliber that he does, that you grow to hate him as he continues to berate you as being the villains of the video game you are playing.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I actually felt like I am a dick, but he is a dick, and so maybe we're in this gray area floating around together, and one of us just has to kill the other.
Only one dick shall remain.
There can only be one dick in Borderlands.
One dick per fantasy rule. Am I right? Yeah. Am I right? What about you, Justin?
I mean, I look forward to his echoes, although I'm a little bit bummed because I played Mordecai as Mordecai in the first one, and I'm playing as Zero this time through, and I think Aaron's completely right. You can only have one dick, and Zero is just like a humongous douche. That said, I no question, I know my favorite moment. So as you tip Mad Moxie, if you give her, I didn't really keep track, but I don't know, 10,000? Mm-hmm. She gives you, yeah. Well, like after like 5,000, she gives you one submachine gun, and you give her like, I think it's 15,000, she gives you another one. And she's like, this is my favorite gun, you'll see why. And then you shift to it, and your controller vibrates nonstop. And that made me laugh so hard. Like, I had to find my wife and tell her the description of the gun and what Mad Moxie says and what happens. And she was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Like, that's funny.
Did she start playing Borderlands with you now?
No. I have a Twitter friend who works for EA who is doing a charity event, and I donated, and she sent us awesome Sims 3 stuff because she works on Sims 3.
Ah.
Yeah. So Carrie was just like, okay, well, I'll talk to you next week. I have no Sims expansion picks. So.
Yay.
But yeah. Mad Moxie is one of my favorite characters. Handsome Jack is the best character, although the discussions between Mordecai and Brick are pretty funny, too.
I remember a moment when you get all four of the original game's characters together, and this was another one of my favorite moments, just because I used to always kind of picture what the characters were like. Because when you play the first one, you don't really get a sense of it. And... Roland is telling Lilith he's got to go do this mission. She's like, no, you don't. He's like, yeah, I do. And she goes, well, be careful. And by be careful, when you get back, I'm going to rip all your clothes off. And Mordecai goes, oh, man, we don't want to hear any of that. And then, like, we all were kind of laughing. And then quietly, you hear in the background, Brick goes, go on.
I didn't catch Brick saying that.
I caught that.
I about died. I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. It's awesome. And so there's just so many so many hilarious moments in that game with the dialogue. You can tell
Mordecai is drunk sniping.
Yeah, you can tell the Gearbox people got together in a room and just said, "All right, just make shit up. Let's go." and it works so well. So it's one hell of a game. Thanks for sharing those favorite memories, guys. So Borderlands 2. If you haven't bought it yet, I have to ask why. But if you go ahead and buy it, definitely try both single player and co-op, and just listen to the world around you. There's so much there, and things to see and things to hear people saying. You would be just sorry if you just kind of blew through the game and just played the story and just, you know, called it a day. Really pay attention. It's a good game. A lot of fun. It goes to your greedy desires to loot and shoot and have all the things, but you know what? It's got a lot more to offer, too. So I think if you haven't bought it, I think we can all give a recommendation. Buy it. Give it a shot.
Would you guys? There's the action, the controls, blah, blah, blah. The mechanics are awesome. But there are points in the game that make you laugh no matter what. That it's reminiscent of some Tim Schafer lines. I mean, if you catch these certain types of characters on fire, they say in this real screechy voice, "I smell delicious!" Right before they die, and I've caught like 1,500 of them on fire, and it's funny every time.
So, you know what? Thanks for hanging out, guys, and sharing your stories and your thoughts on Borderlands 2. For more Cursed Checkpoints from Horrible Night, please visit us on HorribleNight.com or find our entire series on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter for gaming news, editorials, and multimedia content. And we do stream live on Twitch TV, so you can find us at twitch.tv/horriblenight. We do a lot of live podcasts and just random gaming nights, so please come join us in chat and follow our channel. So that does it for this Cursed Checkpoint. I'm Brandon Coppernall. He's Aaron McNeil.
Always give Claptrap a high five.
Always. And he's always Justin Gifford.
It's better to use one bullet from a long distance.
He likes to watch. From all of us at Fortnite.com, thank you for listening.